Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 66 for September 11th, 2008. Unplug your friends. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Visa. We all have things we like to think about. Online fraud shouldn't be one of them. Because with every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa. And by listeners like you. Thanks so much for your contribution. We couldn't do TWiT without it. It's time for Net at Night from the Petaluma area, which is a very small area. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
From the Big Smoke, the city of the broad shoulders. Smoke. Toronto's like the all eyes are on Toronto this week because of the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yes, so there are a lot of movie stars here, and that's usually when I try to leave the city.
Yeah, no, they can be, those movie stars can be so annoying, pestering you, calling you at all hours of the day or night.
It happens. No, the city is definitely on fire, and there's lots of stuff going on. It's very, very busy. There are parties all the time. I haven't done much film festival stuff this year around. This weekend, it's still taking place, so I'll probably get out at some point and go to some restaurants.
You did last year. This is a big contrast, because last year when you were working at City TV, of course, you went to all the parties. You had to do all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've been to a few different parties over the past few years in Toronto. I think because I was traveling last week to Texas and I just got back from Vancouver this morning. The last thing I feel like doing is going out and going to any other big parties or eating lots of meals.
So what were you doing in Texas?
I was speaking at an event in Texas, and same thing in Vancouver. I spoke to Sierra, the people who do the .ca domains.
Yeah.
So they had their annual general meeting. So I was the keynote speaker at that.
Wow.
And I flew out there. It was hilarious. I flew out on Tuesday night, spoke yesterday, and then took the red eye home. So I'm very disoriented.
Are you voice of the internet in Canada now? I mean, like the name, the person?
I don't think so. I think, you know what's really interesting? I met this guy. I can't remember his last name. His first name is John, but he actually founded .ca, the .ca domain in, I think it was in the maybe early 90s. And he is called the godfather of the internet in Canada.
Wow.
And he's such a humble guy. And there's actually a department at the University of British Columbia that was just named after him, at least part of the university. And he's so great. So I ended up having dinner with him and some of the Sierra people last night, and he was so much fun. I got his autograph, so
that's great.
I'm probably the only person who asked for his autograph, but I'm thinking this is the godfather of the Canadian internet.
I remember we had Sierra on our show a couple of years ago, and I still have my .ca shirt, one of my favorite shirts. I wear it all the time.
Awesome.
It's a beautiful shirt with, it says .ca on it.
That's great. Yeah, you know what, I think they mentioned that the old maybe it was the CEO who was on the show. I can't remember.
Did you remember who he was on? Or did you say, oh, yeah.
I did, actually. Yeah.
I get that sometimes. Oh, we were on the show. Well, I did with the Jib Jab. And, oh, yeah, you were on the show. Yeah, of course I remember that. I could never forget that.
I know. What I see more often is that I see people in different cities or in different contexts, and I know that I know them, but I don't realize it right away. And then afterwards, they're like, Amber, it's me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Whoops.
I just, for some reason, didn't expect to be seeing you here. So that's always always interesting.
Sometimes I get the opposite one where I you must get this as a TV person, where somebody looks at you and they clearly know you, and you think, I should know them. And you forget that, oh, they know you from TV. So you're in Texas, you're in Vancouver,
yes.
And are you gonna go to, I guess, March is South by Southwest. Do you have any plans for that?
Not yet. That seems like a long time in the future.
I know it does, doesn't it? Macworld Expo in January. Would you come down our way, maybe?
Yeah, I would love to come for that, actually. I think that would be lots of fun. And I'm going to New York in a couple of weeks as well. I'm taking my mom to New York for the weekend. So I've got a lot of traveling on the horizon, but it's okay as long as it's not those quick, 24-hour trips to the West Coast. That's a killer.
Well, it's because of the time zone change, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
exactly.
so hard. Well, have you had any time to scour the net for your usual fantastic links?
I have, Leo, and let me just tell you, there's a lot of cool stuff happening. I feel like I haven't connected in, just over a day, and the internet is on fire.
It's on fuego.
It's on fuego. It's so exciting. So the first story we wanted to talk about is Amazon.com is selling wine to 26 states starting at the end of September, early October. So you'll now be able to order wine from Amazon.
This used to be really controversial. Remember that it took a kind of an act of Congress to allow people to sell wine online at all.
I know.
Wine.com, which was one of the early websites, had to kind of wait until they got permission and so forth. So now what about the other 24 states? What happened? Or 14 states?
I think the issue, as far as I understand, is that they just still will not allow wine to be ordered and delivered in that fashion. So they haven't broken any, Amazon hasn't broken any barriers there.
I
so
will buy,
now
I would buy wine from, I buy everything from Amazon.
I know.
If they
Doesn't
sell
it
it,
just
I'll
make
buy
it?
it.
It makes your life easier. I'm just thinking about buying gifts or buying books for the house, pick up a couple of bottles of wine that are featured. And
Yeah.
it just, it, I read this good article in the Globe and Mail, and it was very short, but just talking about this, about the Amazon deal. And I was thinking, per the article, that America is really fixating on wine. So it's really becoming a lover of wine. And then I think of,
Well, is that not true in Canada?
Yeah, I think it probably is, but just maybe not to the same extent that it is in the U.S. But I'm thinking of Gary V's wine video podcast. It's just there's sort of a craze happening right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. There are a bunch of wine podcasts. I live in wine country, and basically every square foot of land is being cultivated with vines now because the premium wine industry is exploding, and there's so much money to be made. I suppose at some point people are going to have, there's going to be a glut.
Yes. But the one thing I was wondering about with Amazon, and when you're delivering books, you don't have to worry too much about things getting damaged. You have a big warehouse with all these books in it. Wine, I imagine, is a whole different story. It's quite heavy, breakable.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see the first people who actually order wine from Amazon how it's boxed up, and hopefully they don't think it's books and throw it on the ground somewhere.
Well, I've had wine shipped for a long time, so I could tell you they make these styrofoam cylinders that hold the bottles, and they put them in a box, and they can ship them very well, very easily. One thing about Amazon that bugs me—I don't know if you've noticed this—that often send like, well, I got Spore the other day, which, by the way, incredible game. It's
oh yes, I've heard.
The disc comes in, a DVD case. It came in a box big enough to hold a computer. And they put all this,
yeah.
They put all these, the air bubbles in there. Does Amazon not have a variety of box sizes? Is there some deal they've made that they pay by the, I don't understand it. They seem like they waste a lot of box.
But Leo, did you pop the air bubbles?
No, they don't do the bubbles thing. By the way,
Oh,
I do have
okay.
that for my iPhone. They don't do the little popper bubbles. They do big ones. They're like pouches of air. You see,
Yeah.
you don't have this because you can only use Amazon to buy books, right?
Yeah, but I've even ordered books before, and I know what you mean. They seem to have standard size boxes, and even if you order a very small book, you're going to get it in a relatively large box. So it's an issue with packaging that it's not just Amazon; it's technology companies in general. I still, every time I buy a USB key or a headset, I still cannot break open those stupid plastic packages to get anything out.
I know. I hate those things.
I know, and then I wonder, how does someone who, like, I think if my grandmother, for instance, wanted to get in tech to technology and start using Skype, she probably can't even open up the headset package. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
I know. It's packaging's crazy, but I still buy, Amazon, the smartest thing they ever did. You don't have this in Canada. They have a thing called Amazon Prime. You pay them $75 a year, and then you get free second day delivery on almost everything.
Ooh, that's
so
nice.
Basically they figured out a way to get customers to pay them to shop more at Amazon. And it works because now, before I go to another store, I first see if Amazon has it. Even if it's more expensive at Amazon, I'm getting free two-day shipping. It's very clever on Amazon. They know how to market. They have they're buying up, creating ecologies. You know, they bought our sponsor Audible. They just bought a company called Shelfari. Have you ever used Shelfari?
I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but I think
it's one of those
I've definitely tried it out.
There's Goodreads. Yep. There's a number of these book social networks. Shelfari, I'm on. I've joined them all, but I use Shelfari because it's so pretty and easy. And now that Amazon bought it, I'm very intrigued because I think what'll happen, I hope what'll happen, is that they'll automatically import my reading lists from Amazon.com. Because if I don't buy a book from Amazon.com, I'll buy the audio from Audible.com, another Amazon property. And so I figure if I'm on Shelfari, it's just a matter of time before I push one button and every book I buy at Amazon, every book I buy at Audible shows up on my shelf.
That's great.
Shelfari's fun. Yeah. I there's one thing missing from it. There's no RSS feeds, which is crazy.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's crazy. And I wrote
a simple thing to implement.
They should implement it instantly. I wrote them a notice saying, now that you got some money, turn on RSS feeds. But in every other respect, it's very easy to add books. It makes a beautiful shelf. If you go to my my blog now, leoville.com /blog, on the right, I've got a Shelfari shelf of books that I'm actually, I think this is books I've read. Should be a random selection of books I've read. But you click on it, and of course it has the Amazon affiliate code. I get the Amazon money from it. It's very they're very clever, I have to say.
That's very
Amazon
cool.
Amazon is creating the ecology around it, you know?
It's funny when I was talking to my roommate Jenna recently, and she ordered books off Amazon for the very first time. And it was hilarious listening to her because she was like, I went onto the site, I found the book that I wanted, and then it had things that came up that were just like that book that they recommended.
It's amazing.
And so I ordered three of them, and then they came within 48 hours, and they were all packaged nicely together in this box. Like, and it's so hilarious because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've used Amazon forever. But for someone who's a new user, the experience is totally pretty much flawless.
It reminds you of, you know, your first experiences with it. And now we take it for granted. I probably spend $10,000 a year at Amazon. I mean, it's where I buy toilet paper there. I buy everything from Amazon.
Too much information.
Well, they have this thing. Again, you're missing out a little bit in Canada.
Yeah.
But they have this thing in the States called Subscribe and Save. And it's stuff, it's like commodities that you would buy somewhere else. But you could just say every 2 months, send me more Kleenex or send me more toilet paper or, you know, things that you would buy over and over again, razor blades. And they just deliver them every, you could set the interval, how often they come. You don't have to think about it anymore.
Oh my gosh.
It's brilliant.
That's
and of course, it's genius marketing because they get the sale every single time.
That's awesome.
And then I think they're really smart doing things like buying Shelfari. Now I wonder, can you buy shoes on Amazon? I wonder if, that because I buy shoes on Zappos right now.
Zappos is great.
What is the secret there? Why does Zappos do so well?
I think it's really a customer service issue. I know just from reading about Zappos recently, their CEO is involved in all different types of social media. He's an avid blogger. And I think they've really understood how to cater to the customer. I think I mentioned a story a while ago on Net at Night where they had sent shoes to a woman whose daughter got the shoes. And it turned out the woman who was supposed to get the shoes, she had passed away and the daughter sent the shoes back. Mm-hmm. And then what ended up happening is Zappos, the company actually sent a big bouquet of flowers to the daughter's house saying sorry for your loss. Yeah. And when you get PR like that and you get people talking about you, that's just priceless as far as advertising. So they've done a really good job of word of mouth.
I ordered some shoes from them and they sent me an email saying, we've upgraded your order to overnight shipping. Thanks. Just as a way of saying thank you. And it's little things like that, boy. And once you get customer loyalty on the net, it's just the easiest thing to do. They have my sizes. They have a record of everything I've bought there. I just click, click, click. It's like that one click at Amazon.
Yeah. It makes it easy.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Anyway, the Shelfari thing, give it a try. The hardest thing, and this is why I was telling them, you've got to do some sort of integration with Amazon and Audible. The hardest thing is getting your books in there. But once you've got your books in there, it recommends books. It says your friends, are reading this. I like the site. I think it's kind of fun.
Very cool. I think if I remember, last time I looked at it, it's also very nicely designed.
It's beautiful design. That's why I chose it. Goodreads is probably more functional, has RSS, but Shelfari is pretty. And I went back to them because I saw that Amazon bought them, and I thought, okay, that's it. Now
that's
that now
the place you gotta be.
Yeah, that, now you're gonna see the integration with the two of them. That's gonna put it over the
very
top.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the next site we're going to talk about is similar to a site we talked about a couple of weeks ago called 12seconds.tv, but this is 15 seconds. I'm sure you've seen it.
It's 3 seconds better.
It's 3 seconds better.
You get three extra seconds. So the idea is a video like Twitter, right?
Exactly. And it was launched from Vidler, if you're familiar with Vidler, the video site. And the idea is that when you actually go and record something on 15S, I think is the name of their site, so 15 seconds, then it will integrate directly with your Twitter account so that you can have the link to your video show up on Twitter. But it just made me laugh because I can't believe it's called 15 seconds. I mean, Leo, what's going to be next? 18 seconds?
Yes,
20
exactly.
seconds?
I love Vidler, though. I think Vidler is a really good platform. I love the Colin and Rob Sandy and all the guys. I just think it's a great company. So I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they do really well. And I didn't realize this until we went to the New Media Expo. Is there another company I think that does a great job of really leveraging and building community online? And it seems as though Vidler users are so passionate about the site and they'll do anything to kind of help the site grow. And that's what you really need with something like that. So they've done a fine job of that.
Now, you know me, I'm not down on Twitter, but I want to expand the universe of Twitter. And we have our own Twitter, you know, army.twit.tv. And it's not Twitter. But it's a microblog. And I just want to tell you, tomorrow, you can watch this on live.twit.tv. We're going to cover a conference called Bear Hug Camp. And the idea, Steve Gilmore put it together based on an idea by Dave Weiner. And it's going to include all of the microblogging platforms. Yeah, everybody's going to be there. We've invited Twitter. I hope they show up because the idea is that Twitter right now, it's too big. And I think you noticed that. I mean, the community's gotten very fragmented. But more importantly, they've shut down the things that make it more accessible, which particularly track and instant message access. And so what we're really promoting is that there be an open standard for instant message access and track that's cross-platform, that goes to all of these. And then you could be on Twitter. I'd be on Twit Army. Somebody else would be on Identica or Plurk. And we could follow the people we wanted on different platforms. You'd have smaller, tighter communities, but you'd still be able to follow people on other communities. Right now, they're silos. You know, it's like the old days of email when if you were on CompuServe, you couldn't email somebody on MCI mail. You're too young to remember that. But I think that's what's going on with this microblogging thing. And I want to get it open up. So Bear Hug Camp is really about bringing all the players to the table and saying, how can we make this so that we can all, you know, we can create this broader community, not these silos of information. So I'm, you know, and I, this Vidler, you give me the, it's a perfect example of, yeah, well, of course, if you're going to make these videos, they should go to Twitter, right? Except that they should go to everywhere. And Twitter, I think Twitter is sucking the air out of the room by having everything go to Twitter.
Yeah. So, Leo, when you say that you're all getting in the same room, are you physically doing that?
Yeah,
or is it?
Yeah. CNET has very kindly let us have a conference room. We'll be streaming it live so you can watch it live all day. Everybody will get a chance to speak. Evan Prodromo, who's doing the Laconica software that I use and that Identica uses, will be there. Microsoft will be there because they're very involved in this. You know, Oracle just announced they're doing a Twitter for a corporate Twitter. I don't know if they're going to be there. I hope they will be. Google will be there. Of course, Google's very involved in this. Not only did they buy Jaiku, but they really are, very interested in this open. You know, they call it open microblogging. I like to call it open micro messaging.
Yeah.
To focus on the fact that it's about
totally
messaging. It's about messaging.
Yeah, it's not about blogging. When I tell people, as soon as I don't do it too often, but if I say that Twitter is a microblogging tool, people think that it's a place where you can have your own blog. And it just isn't. I mean,
it's conversation.
The wrong definition.
It's kind of this. Yeah. And so, unfortunately, Twitter's turned off a lot of the tools that make it real-time conversation. That's why I like Rejaws. I don't know if you'd look at Rejaws, but it's much more real-time. You get threaded conversations. I think we're going to see more and more of that. But what I want it to be is not you join one and that's where everybody is. I think you should have, I think there should be, you know, a command and community. There should be a Twit community. There should be a TechCrunch community there. Then the conversations there are, you know, a little bit more intimate and more, you know, the people a little bit better, but you could still follow people on those other communities And follow conversations in those other communities and even participate on conversations in those other communities. Then it's like a micro messaging system. It's kind of more like email where you're not out in the cold because you're at CompuServe and you can't talk to Jeannie. Anyway, that's enough of that. But I just when we mentioned this Vidler going to Twitter, what it really should be is there's an API and Vidler could go to any micro blogging service at all.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I can't wait to tune in and see you guys at the event tomorrow. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting.
I saw it on your Stick'em calendar, and I thought you were having some type of children's event or something.
We're all hugging each other. The idea, the name comes from Dave Weiner, and what happened with RSS. In the early days of RSS, you know, Netscape really created RSS as simply a way to create its front page, to get content on the front page at Netscape.com. And Dave saw it as a much more powerful, universal information exchange, medium information exchange. He was absolutely right. But in order to get it to that point, he had to bear hug Netscape. He had to really encourage them to keep it open. And that's kind of the idea here is we're going to bear hug all the players into serving the user and serving the community as opposed to their commercial needs.
Wow. That sounds great. Is it going to be on Twit as well or... Like on Twit Live?
Yeah, live.twit.tv. Yeah.
Okay.
All day, 9 to 5.
Holy moly, Leo, you're busy.
I am. Well, this is one of the things I wanted to do with Twit Live is cover these conferences. You know, kind of be the C-SPAN for geeks.
Yeah.
So that's the idea.
And we need it, Leo. We need a C-SPAN for geeks because C-SPAN
we certainly
is. We definitely do. So this next link we're going to talk about, I'm not sure if we've talked about it before on the show. I mean, it sounds a little bit familiar, but I'm just going to bring it up again if we haven't. It's called everyblock.com.
Hmm.
And the idea is it's a news feed for your block. So your area that you live in a city, and it's just branched out to, I think there's probably about 8 or 10 cities in the U.S. And it allows you to find out everything that's happening in your specific little neighborhood, and that includes crime, includes parking.
Oh, what a good idea.
Pretty much everything. Oh, the reason I think it's so interesting is I've had a couple of conversations with people who are talking about news and how news, as much as we have the internet and it's really become kind of a global platform, they're really saying that what's going to happen next is ultra local news. So the idea is that you can get very specific in terms of finding news in your little 8 blocks where you live. So I thought this was kind of an interesting first step in that direction.
So they're using government resources. They're using information from users. I mean, mm-hmm. There's things like building permit information. I think this is a good idea. How big is the block? Is it like a square mile? Is it 5 blocks?
I'm not sure how big the block is as far as when you actually narrow it down. I was actually looking more at sort of neighborhood stats.
Right.
I think you can actually get pretty specific. Like you actually sign up for an account and you enter in your address.
Right.
And then you can see things in a certain area. So I'm thinking,
of course, you have to live in
one of these
10 cities in the U.S. or it's not going to work. But
they've expanded quite quickly out to Boston, Los Angeles, Seattle, Washington, D.C., Chicago, San Francisco. So I think it's interesting to watch this space because I do believe that it's going to be a growing area. And as much as, you know, I may be interested in news that's happening in Toronto, but to be honest with you, it doesn't really affect my life. I live within a 10
right.
to 12 block range and I don't really go anywhere else.
See, I think that...
So the idea you can narrow down is neat.
I don't know if we talked about this. I think we talked about Near Me, NRME, which was a Twitter for everybody within 9 blocks of you. I think that's maybe not, but I think that's the one we talked about, NRME.com. And so it's the same idea. It's a Twitter, but it's location based. So,
and it's
everybody within 9 blocks. Now, I use a little Twitter application on the iPhone called Twinkle that does the same thing. And you could say 1 mile, 2 miles, 5, 25, 50, 100 miles. And you'll see tweets from everybody that has identified where they are in that radius. And that's really useful.
Can you say Twinkle again?
Twinkle? You like it when I say that? Well, I think this is a really good idea because, again, we're going to see more and more location-based services. You're exactly right. You don't care about Toronto, the greater Toronto area. You want to know who's near you, who's having a drink, who's, you know, who's got a party near enough so that you could walk over there.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, it doesn't become relevant what's happening on the other side of town. There are 6 million people in the greater right. Toronto area. And what's happening even 20 blocks east of me, it doesn't affect me remotely.
Right. Unless it's the Toronto Film Festival.
That does happen. Yeah, maybe, and maybe, Brad Pitt.
I was going to say Zach. Who's the guy in Scrubs?
Oh, Zach Braff.
Your friend, Zach Braff.
Yeah, my friend. He's really not my friend, but I had a major crush on him. Although, if you remember one of my early episodes of Call for Help, I did...
You married Brad Pitt, yeah.
Yes, on the knot.com, and I set up our entire wedding. We were getting married a year down the road, and the funniest thing was that I had forgotten I had done the segment, and coming up to the wedding date, I would get these emails that would be like, you and Brad are getting married in 15 days.
Oh, did it give you a nice warm feeling? Oh,
it did, until the wedding day came and there was no Brad.
Damn. But you broke. I think was the last straw in the Brad and Jennifer Aniston breakup.
Yeah, he was Googling and he found out that she found out.
She found out that we two were on the knot. And I think Angelina Jolie owes you a bouquet or something.
Yes. Oh, she for sure does. At least, Leo. At least.
At least. Maybe at she could least. Send you an extra child.
And yeah, she has
she has
six
several
of them now?
Yeah, she could probably just spare one or two and just send them your way. You don't know.
Exactly.
You don't want that.
I'll talk to her about it.
Anyway,
well,
I don't know if near me, I guess near me is running. I guess near me is running. But I like Twinkle. I really do. I like Twinkle. Hello? We're having trouble again with the audio.
Twinkle? Sorry. I'm making you say Twinkle again.
You just want me to say Twinkle again? Twinkle. Twinkle, twinkle. Tell you what. I'm going to say something else. You want to hear another thing? How about this?
I do.
Visa.
Love it.
You love it, don't you? Visa.
I do.
This show brought to you by...
Now I get it.
Visa.
I've got to give them some credit for being safe and secure. No problems, they assure. It's Visa.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah, the next time you go shopping online or off, make sure you take along your Visa card, because every purchase you make with Visa is safe, is secure, is protected. They use sophisticated software to make sure that they prevent, detect, and resolve online fraud. Real-time fraud monitoring means that you're just not liable for unauthorized purchases. So the next time you go shopping online or off, think about the things you want to get. You don't have to worry about that other stuff, the bad stuff, because you're safe. You're secure. You're using Visa.
All right, now I get it. I've got to give them some credit for being safe and secure. No problems, they assure. It's Visa.
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 Visa. That is
that's awesome.
That's Jeff Smith, the Visa jingle. Yeah, isn't that nice?
That's very nice.
I thank Jeff for that that little jingle. I don't know how Visa feels about it. I didn't bother to ask.
Oh,
no, I think it's cute. Nice. It's folksy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Well, we have lots of listeners on Net at Night who like to send us emails, as you know. But the funniest email that I got last week was an email from a listener who sent me a link to a site called Unplug Your Friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen this yet, but all of a sudden I opened up this link and I didn't really look at the subject line too carefully. And it's an intervention email for people
boy.
Who spend too much time with technology.
Of course, it's on the web.
It's on the web.
The site is on the web.
I know. Mm-hmm. But the neat thing is you can go to unplugyourfriends.com.
Dear
and
Amber. All right. I'm going to fill this form out here.
Dear you can fill out the form.
Amber, I am sending this letter because I care. It's getting annoying. I'm not sure you're still alive. There you go. I know what it's like. You're creeping me out, dude. This is an intervention. It's time to admit you have a problem. You're addicted to your computer, your CrackBerry, updating your Facebook profile. Instant sending tweets, tweeting, downloading ringtones, video games. Wow. Which of these would you say? Or all of the above, really?
Yeah, maybe my CrackBerry.
I'm worried it's definitely. I'm worried you're going to become an LOL cat lady.
That hurt, actually.
That would be bad. Develop enormous thumbs, become a zombie, forget how to say words out loud, legally change your name to FerretLover83. When is the last time that you fill out these forms? When is the last time you saw the sun, laughed out loud instead of LOL'd? Let a text message sit for 5 minutes. Never. Asked a human instead of asking Google. Seldom.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Saw an uncaptioned cat. Did something not involving a screen. This is good. I miss you. The world misses you. You need help. Watch this video. Join a meetup or something. Please. Sincerely, yours truly, worried, totally annoyed, exasperatedly yours, your friend, remember me, Leo. And then I send this to you, and it includes a video.
Yeah, I get it, and it includes a video, and the video is also on the page that you
just
visited.
What's on the video? I'm looking at it. What is that?
You know, it's just unplugyourfriends.com, so it's a very nicely animated little video that is really showing someone who maybe spends too much time with technology and is addicted to their computer, using their cell phone as a flashlight. You know, those things we're always embarrassed to
using my cell phone as a flashlight. I have 4 different flashlight applications on my iPhone. Does that count?
I have to go, Leo. That's creepy.
I even have a cigarette lighter one for concerts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you hold it up. It's got a little cigarette lighter on it.
I should be sending you this email.
Yeah, you know, I think I need it.
Oh, you know, anyway, it's a fun little video and a great little form letter that you can send to anyone you like. You can send it, obviously, anonymously if you choose. But the thing I didn't realize, and I've gone to the site a couple of times, is that it's actually a little campaign that's created by meetup.com.
Oh.
Yeah. And but they're not really in the way. You know, they don't really force any marketing messages on you. It's very subtle. But what a neat way to do a little viral campaign subtly kind of impose your message. And I think they did a pretty nice job of it. It's pretty fun.
I guess in a way that makes sense, because Meetup is about meeting in real life the people that you meet online.
Exactly. And so the point of it is that if you have friends who don't get out a lot because they're hooked on technology, is you want to try to get them to meet up and agree to go out and actually do something face to face, so that there is value in being physically with a person versus physically with your technology.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. Good for them. This is not the first kind of email like this we've seen. Remember, it all started with the Dexter one, but there have been a lot of these. I think this is a very clever viral marketing campaign.
I think what I like the most about this one, though, versus Dexter, and the other ones are, you know, I don't want to say they're humorous, but so they're a little more, they don't really have a purpose, whereas everybody knows someone who's addicted to some type of technology.
Right.
And therefore, this email intervention is just a fun way to kind of poke fun at them.
So this is something a fan sent you.
Yes.
It says, "Dear Amber, I'm sending this letter because I know what it's like. This is an intervention. It's time to admit you have a problem. You're addicted to your Crackberry. I'm worried you're going to become an LOL cat lady. When was the last time you asked a human being instead of asking Google, 'I miss you, the world misses you'"? That's very cool.
I know, it's fun. Yeah, it's lots of fun. So I had to share that. So just go to unplugyourfriends.com if you want to send your friend a message. And I'm sure they'll appreciate it. I'm sure there's lots of geeks listening.
I hope they don't take it wrong.
No, they won't. I don't think so. We have a song of the week this week. And bradsucks.net is one of my favorite bands. Brad doesn't suck. We've mentioned him before on the show. He's actually a very good artist based in Ottawa.
He's also on Twitter. And I'm a follower. Follow him on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, and he just released a new album this past week, and it's called Out of It. I don't know, you know, I can't really compare the two, but in some ways he's almost like Canada's version of Jonathan Coulton, in the sense that I think he has the same philosophy about music online. He likes to really give it away and offer you the option to buy it if you like it. Very much about sharing music. I know I've had conversations with him about using his music on shows that I've done, and he's just a really, really good artist. So
shall I play?
Let's play Out of It.
This is Brad Sucks. Is it a band or is it just Brad?
It's just Brad, and he doesn't suck.
He doesn't suck, and this is a song called Out of It. Am I doing something wrong? Is that what it sounds like?
No, I don't know what that is.
Is more than one thing playing?
Yeah, that sounds a little weird. There must be, because that sounds like there's two different songs playing.
It sounds like two different songs are playing.
Yeah, that's weird.
Man, let me start that up. I don't know.
Here, I don't
let me,
know,
let me
but
play
that's...
it from here. Let me play it. There you go. I was doing something wrong. I think I was playing the whole album. All at once.
Oh, it's a mashup, your own mashup.
Yeah. This is much more catchy.
In my place where I am found, I'm still amazed that you're not around. I know that it's a blessing to be a man who can't pay attention to my life.
This is kind of my theme song. I'm a man who can't pay attention.
Well, this is a bit of a hint to you.
Is this an intervention?
Yes.
I like the name Out of It. Out of It. That's a great song. It's funny. I follow Brad on Twitter, and I never listened to his music.
Well, I love his music. His old album that came out just before this one is really, really good, and so far I really like this one as well.
Is he pretty well known in Canada?
I think he's fairly well known, but I think he needs to be better known. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where I think he's very talented. He's played some gigs around, at least Ontario, and I think he's really good, and his songs are very catchy. So try him out at bradsucks.net.
All right, we're going to listen to our podcast of the week in just a little bit, but before we do, I do want to mention that this show, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at audible.com. They're the folks who do all of those great audiobooks. We talk about audiobooks all the time because I'm a big audiobook fanatic, even before Audible was a sponsor. In fact, since 2001, I've been listening to Audible. If you go to audible.com/night, you can become an Audible fanatic as well by getting a free book. Go to audible.com/night. If you're not already an Audible member, you can sign up there, get a credit toward a free book. It's yours to keep at no cost. But there are so many choices that usually on this show, we like to give you some ideas of something you can listen to. And actually, we got an idea from a listener this week. Something I'd mentioned before, but I think it's well worth mentioning again. Randy Pausch's last lecture. Do you know the story behind this?
A little bit. Not too well. I actually have watched the last lecture on YouTube. And
the video is up there, yes.
Wonderful, yeah. But what's the specific story? I think it's one of the last lectures he did before he died.
Well, there's a tradition. He actually did pass away a couple of months ago. But this book and a lecture have been circulating on the internet for some time before then. There's a tradition at some universities of giving something that they like to call your last lecture. Not that you're dying, but that if you were going to have one last lecture before you left this world, what would you want people to know? What would you say? And I think it's a really kind of a neat idea. In this case, it wasn't Randy's last lecture, but he had a terminal death sentence. He had a serious, I think it was pancreatic cancer, and he knew that he didn't have much longer to live, and gave a truly, he's a professor at Carnegie Mellon, and by the way, important person in computer science. He created Alice, which is a brilliant game design, 3D game design platform to teach kids and others how to program. He's a brilliant computer scientist. And so for that alone, in fact, he had a lecture on YouTube. In fact, I recommend looking for it. That might be on Google Video. Look for Randy Pausch's time management system because it's also quite brilliant. It's a little bit older than this. So I did the last lecture, turned it into a book, and it is a beautiful book. I actually have the book. I watched the video, and you can also hear him read the book on audible.com. So highly recommend Randy Pausch, the last lecture. Randy did, sorry to say, pass away about, I think, 2 months ago, leaving behind his young family as kids. And it's very sad. But boy, this guy made a difference in the world, a real inspiration. And this book, it's only 4 hours and 15 minutes. There's more material than there is in the lecture that you saw on YouTube. It is everything from how William Shatner inspired his career in computer science and then came to his lab. And it's a really wonderful anecdote to, you know, what the world is all about, what it means and how to lead your life so that it matters. Really a beautiful book. The last lecture. What a great choice. And I want to thank our listener, actually, David Montminy, for recommending it, and sending us that recommendation. Audible.com/night. That's one of 50,000 titles. Inspirational, humorous, historic, romantic, sexy, science fiction. It's all there. Get inspired. Get happy. Learn when you're in the car, at the gym, walking the dog. Those times you can't read, you can always listen to a book. And I'll tell you, it's the best. Audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the podcast of the week.
The podcast of the week. So this is from Dodd Vickers, and he has been doing this podcast for quite some time. As far as I can tell from his email, he started blogging more than 10 years ago, and he blogs and podcasts about magic. So I'm sure there's people out there who listen to or who are into magic.
Yeah.
And so this is his magic podcast. He sometimes gets magicians on the show, and he wrote because he really wanted us to talk about it on Net at Night. So it's the Magic News. Wire.com.
Fantastic. Look at all the magicians, the famous magicians he's interviewed.
I know.
What
it's pretty impressive.
Fun.
I know. It's neat. I know people who are into magic are really into magic. So I'm sure that, you know, if you're not into magic, you know someone who is. And I would definitely recommend both the site as well as the podcast because he's got it looking pretty good.
Yeah.
And now, sounding great.
It looks like the URL for the website is magicnewswire.com, right?
Exactly.
All right,
it forwards to another domain, but that's the URL.
Easy
that
to remember.
Go
one.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has so you subscribe via iTunes. He has the podcast, but you can also search the archives. A lot of information there. You can follow him on Twitter, too.
Sure. And you can listen on his site. He has a little audio player on his site as well.
Wow, really
so,
cool.
Yeah.
I love
really
magic.
Nice job.
Isn't magic cool?
It is cool. Yeah. I went to a couple of magic stores when I was in Vegas for the New Media Expo, and it's always fun to go in and see what people
what
are doing.
You doing there? That's funny.
Just wandering around, you know.
They have those magic stores there, yeah, when they've got guys doing magic tricks and selling magic, you know, magic paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Did you get little elf ears or anything?
No, I have those already, Leo. They're natural, though.
You don't have to trick her into getting those. She's got them already, kids.
I got them. I was born with them.
Cute.
I'm very
elfin-like. She is, but that's
it's
cute.
Good. When I see Lord of the Rings, I feel right at home. Let's put it that way.
She knows those elves. They're her people.
My people.
Her people.
Yeah, so that's all the links for tonight, but I'm sure next week we'll have many more. Actually, Leo, we should talk about next week because if you want to change to Wednesday, I know next week that would actually is fine for me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's talk offline because I think we might want to stay on Tuesday. And next week I'm going to Austin. I have, that's crazy, a crazy schedule, but we'll talk offline.
Okay, let's
do it. And the thing to do, if you want to watch these shows do go live, you can, but the day changes. So the best thing to do is go to twitlive.tv, and at the bottom there's a calendar link, and I keep that calendar up to date. And so I'll make sure that before next week I have a regular date for us. We're moving things around a little bit.
And I'll be back on my MacBook Pro so I can run video. That was just an oversight.
Everybody says, I want to see Amber. Get rid of this Leo guy. Where's Amber?
Yes, I gotta reserve my MacBook Air for just traveling and surfing the internet and checking email because...
I think that's the case. Although Abby has an Air. We sent Abby to France with an Air and of course, a Skype account. And she's been able to... We saw her once. It worked pretty well.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. I mean, that's... The thing is, it's a little different for a show than it is for just, you know, talking.
Exactly. You're not paying as much attention.
Right. It doesn't have to be perfect for the talking.
Okay, Twinkle.
Twinkle Toes Laporte with Elfin Ears MacArthur. And that's another episode of Net at Night. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye, Amber.